did he get this gospel? Did he make it up? What is the origin of the gospel? Can it be trusted? What happens when you encounter the gospel? So last week we were told that the Galatians had received the gospel from Paul. They'd been told that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Like, the message from God alone is the one in which we must depend on in order to be saved. And in our passage today, we'll come across Paul confirming or affirming that this message is not a message of men, but it is a message that has come above, from above. It is a message that came about by a supernatural revelation. And Paul is telling us that it is the message that we must depend upon in order to be saved. So when the light that is the gospel of Jesus Christ breaks into our lives, do we remain the same? Are we being transformed by this gospel? Have we believed in this gospel? And Paul is just trying to tell us that the light of the gospel is so profound and overwhelming that it reorders everything in our lives. May we determine to know nothing except Jesus and Him crucified. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much that for the wonderful words that are in Galatians. Thank you for inspiring Paul, Father Lord, to in putting these words together. May we hear from you, Father Lord, and you alone. Help me, dear Lord, to speak your truth and nothing but your truth. May we be transformed, Father Lord, by the words of the scriptures that you have so graciously given us. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. So Paul had been telling the cities in Galatia that there is salvation in Jesus and Jesus alone, that the message of the gospel is salvation in grace alone. And grace is God's wonderful and unconditional favor. It is goodness to people like you and I that did not deserve it. It is the goodness that God has purposed for the rebels that we are. He saved us because He loved us. And that is the wonderful message that Paul had brought to the Galatians and to the cities all around there. But after he had shared this, the problem came with some of the teachers that came into the cities and the churches. And they started telling the rest of the Galatians that, no, Paul is not right. What is actually needed is Jesus and something else. So they were following the traditions of their fathers, telling people that you need the law of Moses. So in our day and age, you find people, we come to church, but then holiday time or weekends, when we go to our places of comfort or our villages, you hear people, they are doing rituals. So it does not become Jesus only, it becomes Jesus and the rituals. Earlier on, I heard about people that buy stickers from their preachers, from their men of faith, stickers that say, that have the name and the picture of the preacher there. To say picture and preacher. The name of the preacher and the picture. They buy these stickers, sort of bumper stickers. They put them on their cars or at their doorsteps. Why? They say it is protection. So in essence, it becomes Jesus and something else. People going to their villages and certain rituals. Why? For protection. So it's Jesus and something else. And this is what Paul is addressing, and he's saying, there's only one gospel. Why have you so quickly turned to another gospel? Why are you abandoning the gospel of grace? So people were seriously trying to distort that gospel. Now, Paul continues to emphasize that his message is not from men, but a message from God directly. Paul encountered the true living God, the light of Jesus Christ on his road to Damascus, where he was going to persecute and crucify the Christians. Okay, let me skip over that. Okay, Acts 9. Paul is en route to Damascus. He's on his way to crucify and persecute the church of Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for letters from the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners. Okay, as he neared Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. All right, and the next part goes, "Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." Verse 8, Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. He was blind and did not eat anything. Paul encountered the gospel. Paul encountered the living word. The light of God broke into his life. From someone that was persecuting the church, he was turned around 180 degrees from a persecutor. He became a proclaimer. And this is what Paul is saying. The gospel is not a mere tradition, but the words of this book, the words that are written here, were not his own words. It is something that came into his life, the light of God. It was not something that he invented, but it is something that came from above. In verse 13 and 14, all right, I'll just read. Verse 13 and 14. "For you heard of my life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. From seizing people in their homes, dragging Christians, Paul was touched by the gospel. Only God could have touched such a heart. Only God could have changed such a hard heart and turned him around." Thank you. "And turned him around." And in verse 14 he says, "I was advancing beyond many of my age. So zealous was he to persecute the people around him. I persecuted the church of God. I tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism, extremely zealous for what my traditions of my fathers were. But when the grace of God arrested this rebel, when the grace of God overcame him, this is the best part about what happened to Paul, that his past became the proof of God's transforming power. From a murderer and a rebel, his past was turned around and he used that. God used that to point to the goodness of God. The light of the gospel transformed him and he turned around. And that is my question today. Are we being transformed by this divine gospel that did not originate from men, but it came from above? From fighting God and persecuting his church, Paul's eyes were open. Mercy and grace had found him. As verse 16 stipulates, "God was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles." Has the light of our Lord and Savior broken into your life. Okay, thank you. 2 Corinthians 4 from 4 to 6. As the God of this age, sorry, that should be a small g, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ is our Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ Jesus. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. Darkness cannot overcome the light. So has the light of Jesus Christ shone in your heart? From a person who was bitterly opposing God and fighting against God, everything changed when Paul realized that God had been pursuing him even before he was born. Paul says it himself, that God was pleased to reveal his son to me. God had called Paul before. We have been called. Are we being changed by this wonderful scriptures, scriptures that do not come from men? We sang earlier on ancient words of life, words of hope and strength. Help us cope in this world. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We've come with open hearts. Are we being transformed by the gospel? Main idea Paul wants us to understand is that his message is a true and reliable gospel, and this message came from God and not men. And we know that it is true, because when he encountered the gospel, he was changed forever. Again, the gospel is the true and reliable message from above. It did not come from men, but God has been inspiring his prophets and his apostles throughout generations to give us his word, to reveal Christ to us. And again, I say, I heard from someone that, or I believe that it is true, the first three pages of the Bible are just showing us God's love and what his intention was for us. Genesis 1, 2, until we get to 3, after the fall. But from that point on, until the end, to Revelations, it is God pursuing us in his perfect love. It is the God showing us and calling us back to him. And this is how Paul would flip from a persecutor to a preacher. And this is what I hope you walk away with today, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. You take away the gospel, you take away the church. There is no reason for us to exist anymore without the gospel. It is the true and reliable message of God. It changes us when we encounter it. And if you have encountered it, hold on to it strongly. Let the gospel be the center of our life, of our ministry, of our work, of our families, of our relationships. And if you do not yet have that relationship with Christ, my message to you is simple. God in his grace gave his son to die for you. And his son rose again on the third day. And he proved he was victorious over sin. And the Bible commands each and every one of us, men and women everywhere, repent and believe this gospel. Repent and be transformed. Paul's story tells us one thing, that no matter how far or what it is that you're dealing with or you are struggling with, it doesn't matter. There is no person here who is too far gone for God's to change. There is no person, none of us, is ever too far gone for God to bring back into the light. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. We're being changed by the gospel. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these wonderful words from Galatians 1. Thank you, Father, Lord, that you have been pursuing us since time immemorial. Thank you for your grace and mercy, and thank you that you love us. Father, may we make the gospel the center of our lives. May we strive to look for Christ in every situation, Father, Lord, knowing full well that the darkness can never comprehend the light, Father. Thank you that you have been pursuing us from the beginning. In your mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Larry. We will now split up into, I don't know how we are going to do this. We are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. Shall we?